Dreamscape presents The Conquest of Happiness by Bertrand Russell, narrated by Chris Lutkin. Preface to the Routledge Classics Edition. In the early part of his long career, in fact, until his mid-40s, Bertrand Russell believed that philosophy was strictly a technical subject. In fact, a branch of logic, which had nothing to do with matters of ordinary life. He still held this view during the time that he lived and taught in Peking in the early 1920s, which meant that he lost an opportunity to help the young Chinese intellectuals who asked him for guidance in matters social and political, which they much needed at that tumultuous period of their country's history. The American pragmatist philosopher John Dewey was also in China at that time, and did not hesitate to respond to such requests, with the result that he is remembered today in China with some reverence, whereas Russell left scarcely any mark outside Peking University. But Russell's austere technical view of philosophy did not last much longer. His reputation as a philosopher prompted people to ask him for his opinion on every imaginable subject. And when he found it convenient to write non-technical books and articles as a way of making money, he found a readership eager to know what a philosopher could say on the pressing questions of life and morality, which, afresh in every generation, interest the more reflective members of the public. Such people could, of course, go to the writings of the great thinkers of the past, among them the philosophers of classical antiquity, to help them work things out for themselves, and some do. But a special interest always attaches to what philosophers of one's own day think, because they share the very same experience and problems as oneself, which gives their perspective an added value. It was this need that Russell found himself able to meet when at last he turned his attention to it. The seeds of the change in Russell's attitude to popular philosophy had, in fact, been sown during the First World War. He had campaigned throughout that horrendous event as an anti-war activist, twice falling foul of the law as a result, and having to spend some months in prison. He wrote and lectured much in relation to his campaign, but at that time did not think of the work as an aspect of the philosophical enterprise. The idea that a thinker might be engaged with the pressing questions of the day.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?